Hello, this is your Polycast for Friday, January 20th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, on this inauguration day, expectations are high for the Trump presidency. Protesters are organizing as well. When Donald Trump takes the oath of office later today, he'll have a lot of expectations to meet. Among those looking for him to make America great again are many Minnesotans. Mark Zedeklik spoke with some of them about how they hope the country will change under President Trump. And Mark has the story.
Everywhere in Washington, there's heightened security. And almost everywhere, trinkets, T-shirts, mugs, and other souvenirs celebrating Donald Trump.
I have scarves that says President Donald Trump and on one side and Make America Great Again on the other side.
People excited that Trump's ideas and agenda won the national argument want a piece of the moment to take home. Far from Washington, Joe Lindecki is at his plumbing business in Hermantown outside of Duluth. He says he doesn't need any Trump merchandise. The huge Trump-Pence campaign sign that's been hanging outside his business for months has been enough, and even its days are short-lived.
The sign will come down when Donald Trump is the president of the United States.
Lindecki says he's truly excited about Trump becoming president.
Absolutely, because we're going to start moving forward as a nation.
Lindecki says there are plenty of challenges for Trump to address, but the biggest may be creating more jobs and improving the economy. To jumpstart the economy, Lindecki says Trump should cut regulations.
The United States is being regulated out of work, and I think that is going to be one key. You know, he says, you know, for every, you know, new regulation that's passed, two got to go. I like that. I'd like to say for every one, let's see 10 of them go.
One area where Lindecki wants more regulation is immigration. He says anyone with suspected ties to radical Islam should be banned from the country.
If we think they might be a threat, no, you know, no pass. And the ones that are here, if we think they might be a threat, get the hell out. Send them away.
150 miles south of Hermantown, at the headquarters of Hubbard Broadcasting on University Avenue where St. Paul meets Minneapolis, 83-year-old CEO Stanley Hubbard is fiddling with wrapping from a gift Charles Koch recently sent him.
A pin from Monticello, made out of a tree that Jefferson planted.
That's Thomas Jefferson, who wrote the Declaration of Independence and was the nation's third president. The Koch brothers pour millions of dollars into conservative politics, but they largely sat out Donald Trump's campaign. After donating to the Stop Trump movement, Hubbard did an about-face, contributing $125,000 to the Great America PAC, which raised more than $28 million to help elect Trump. Hubbard thinks Trump will follow through on his promise to shrink the influence of government.
I like the idea of getting the government out of our lives, out of your life, out of my life. That I like.
Other business owners like it too, says Hubbard. Just look at the stock market gains since the election.
He doesn't owe any political favors. He can do what he wants to do and, you know, like he runs a business. Now, of course, he has to get the Congress to go along with him for a lot of stuff, thank goodness. We can't have a dictator in our country. But for executive orders, he can do what he wants and not worry about the fallout.
Hubbard is a wealthy business owner. Marilyn Geller is not. Geller runs a daycare center in Bemidji and voted for Trump after supporting Barack Obama.
As a rule, I always thought the Democrats were good for the economy and always, you know, made things better. But, I don't know, these past year or so, it just hasn't turned out that way.
Geller concedes she's nowhere near as excited about Trump becoming president as she was when Obama won. She gives Trump a 50-50 chance of turning the country around. And she acknowledges she's more hesitant about Trump now than she was early in the campaign because of some of the things he's said.
At first, I wasn't. I might be a little bit nervous now just because, you know, some of the things, again, have taken place on the campaign road.
In Edina, mortgage banker Scott Gregory is still a big Trump supporter and has been since the beginning.
What he needs to do is reform the Affordable Care Act, fix the tax code, go after the companies that are sending American manufacturing jobs overseas. He does need to build a wall, even though I'm not the biggest fan of the wall.
Because, Gregory says, going after businesses that hire people who are in the country illegally would be a better strategy than building a wall between the U.S. and Mexico. But Trump made the promise, so Gregory says he needs to follow through. The Trump campaign has claimed its victory amounts to a mandate from Americans. Cook Political Report senior editor Jennifer Duffy says that's malarkey.
Does Trump have a mandate? Of course he doesn't. You can't win the Electoral College and lose the popular vote and claim a mandate.
And with supporters expecting big changes, Duffy predicts Trump will have a strained relationship with Republicans who control both houses of Congress.
Just over the last few days, we have seen several examples of Trump not being in step with a lot of Republicans. His comments, over the weekend about every American should have health insurance, Republicans may not disagree with that, but they certainly disagree with whether it's feasible and how to get there. That statement almost put him more in line with a Bernie Sanders.
We don't want our president to fail.
But DFL party chairman Ken Martin thinks Trump and Republicans in the House and Senate will disappoint a lot of people who have sky-high expectations. They'll create more jobs, reduce the cost of health care, and improve national security.
There are going to be many people who actually voted for Trump and Republicans up and down the ticket who are going to have buyer's remorse after they see that the Republicans aren't really interested in governing or solving these problems.
Martin is hoping that will give Democrats a leg up in the 2018 midterm election. But Trump supporters, by and large, discount that skepticism. After all, it's coming from the same people who dismissed Trump as a candidate and claimed he could never be president. Mortgage banker Scott Gregory is confident the new president will surprise his critics.
I really think the media is setting Trump up for success.
And Gregory has this message for Americans and people around the world who are anxious about Trump and the White House.
The president's the president. He's not a dictator. There's a constitution. You have the House, the Senate, the Supreme Courts. You have the lower courts. There's only so much the president can actually do.
Stanley Hubbard agrees.
America's bigger than a president. America will be fine.
As for commemorative Trump t-shirts, coins, mugs, and all the rest, time, not political rhetoric, will determine whether they'll become collectible mementos of a successful presidency or the stuff of yard sales. Covering politics, I'm Mark Sedeklik, Minnesota Public Radio News, Washington.
More than 70 Twin Cities organizations plan to protest in Minneapolis following Donald Trump's inauguration. Dawali Zeikautau reports the group calls itself the Resist From Day One Coalition.
The coalition's organizers say they expect thousands of protesters to march from Lake Street and Nicollet Avenue to City Hall Friday, starting at about 2 p.m. Immigration attorney Susana De Leon is part of the group.
I am participating in the Resist From Day One march, because I want to be with friends and family on this day. I want us to be together and be united and face the next administration together in love, in strength, and in power.
Minneapolis police are assigned to monitor Friday's protest. A spokesman says they have no planned road closures. Dwahli Saikautau, Minnesota Public Radio News.
At the state capitol, a way to help Minnesotans struggling to pay health care premiums is closer to reality. The Republican-led state House approved its version of a health care relief package last night by a 73-54 vote. It mixes hundreds of millions of dollars of health insurance rebates with some changes aimed at expanding coverage networks, especially in greater Minnesota. Now the negotiations involving the House, Senate, and DFL Governor Mark Dayton's administration can begin. Brian Baxt has the story.
When it comes down to it, there aren't many major points of dispute, but they will force someone, or everyone, to budge on what have been up until now pretty firm positions. The proposals from all sides would provide 25% premium breaks to people in the individual insurance market who don't qualify for federal assistance. Closer to the ground, the disagreement is over who gets the state breaks, who administers the aid, and how fast it gets out to people. Chaska Republican Representative Joe Hoppe says a deal isn't as far off as it might seem.
As I keep saying, this is a work in progress. There are a lot of things that we can agree on. We're just trying to get to a point where we can get enough reform in the bill that satisfies the legislature and enough rebate quickly enough to satisfy the governor. I think we're working towards it.
The bills passed by the House and Senate would have the state write rebate checks, but they would rule out anyone who makes more than 8 times the federal poverty limit, so above $194,000 a year for a family of four. Dayton's administration says that would take several months. Dayton's plan would route the aid through insurance companies without an income test. DFL House Minority Leader Melissa Hortman of Brooklyn Park says the choice should be clear.
The governor's plan is quick and easy. The Republican plan is slow and complicated.
Dayton's finance chief, Myron Fran, says insurance companies should be authorized to just lop 25% off a person's bill, which could make for the quickest turnaround.
There's no need for a check. There's no need for an application. There is a relationship between the insured and the insurance company, and that method, and only that method, is not taxable to the insured.
The debate comes at a time of uncertainty. President-elect Donald Trump and a Republican Congress aim to ditch Obamacare for something else. But Minnesota lawmakers have to proceed as though what's in place now will drive the 2018 insurance market. The proposal from majority legislative Republicans would allow for-profit carriers to offer plans in the Minnesota market, something they can't do under current law. They would also give medical providers more avenues to get into insurance networks to address complaints that people can't get care close enough to home. And in the Senate GOP's bill, there would be a way to shield insurance companies from extremely costly claims by creating a state-funded fallback insurance. Health insurers must finalize plans this spring to submit to state regulators on the scope of offerings for the fall's open enrollment. Jim Showalter is president of the Minnesota Council of Health Plans, the trade group for state insurance companies. He says if lawmakers are going to considerably alter the private market, they don't have much time.
There's so much uncertainty for individuals in Minnesota to know whether they're going to get a premium subsidy in 2017 or whether their plans are even going to be available in 2018. So obviously, the more quickly and creatively we can get going, Minnesotans will have more options and more understanding of what's going to be coming.
Without dramatic changes, Republicans argue the state will be back in the same predicament it is now. Hoppe, who is sponsoring the House bill, says the challenge is to lure more companies into the marketplace.
And what we're trying to do is set things up for, we want to make a more robust health insurance market next year so that the individual health plans will go to more providers and will have wider, deeper networks and more access for people.
Hoppe says negotiators are prepared to work through the weekend in search of a compromise that can be adopted by the end of next week. Covering politics, I'm Brian Baxt at the Capitol.
And that's your Polycast for this Friday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you again here next week.